Hi, my name's Chris, and this is season 3 of My Life, and welcome to it, Seeking God's Face. Well, here I am. I can't believe how long it's been since I last recorded. It's been a while. And not for a good reason, actually. Unfortunately, it's because I'm lazy. Yeah. Anyway, but here I am. Why today, you say? Well, it's a beautiful day out, and yeah, I just happened to be sitting in front of my equipment and decided to give it a go. I have a lot going on right now. Let me start off by saying welcome. My little life story here, season 3, Seeking God's Face. And just an update on current events for me. I'm finishing a 5-week course on liturgical theology through the University of Notre Dame. It's a special program that's designed for people that have various ministries in the Catholic Church. And I am a catechist, B, I'm in the choir, so that's a liturgical ministry. And I also lecture, that's a liturgical ministry. And so it's an area of study that I think is important for me in order to be a more effectual minister as a catechist and as a liturgical minister, both in the choir and lecturing, reading. I mean, lector actually is it's a position in the church that is signified by the bishop. A lay reader is technically what I am. It's possible to become a lector, a lay person, but that doesn't happen very often. Anyway, the terms are used interchangeably, and that's what I'm doing. You know, the other reason that I wanted to record was because right now we are tomorrow beginning the 4th week of Lent. And there's going to be 5 weeks, and then we'll begin Holy Week, leading into what's called the Triduum, which is the Passion of Christ, culminating on Easter Resurrection. So that's kind of exciting. But this is an important phase for people who are either heading towards baptism as a Christian Catholic, or being received into the Catholic Church from another Christian tradition. The season of Lent in RCIA, which is the Rite of Christian Initiation for adults, is also called the period of purification and enlightenment. It's a time when we are more introspective, looking at where we're at in our faith journey, and how are we preparing ourselves for this great event? That's what it's all about. And for the unbaptized, they go through 3 special Sundays. And they're called scrutinies. And it's when the congregation, people of God that are present for this particular rite, we pray for all of our elect, which were catechumens, now elect, that all the impediments to getting to baptism are removed and that the person is strengthened for this. They also receive the creed or the profession of faith that we recite at every Mass. They also will be receiving a copy of the Our Father. Now, here's what's interesting about the Our Father. Anyone anyone can pray the Our Father at any time, because in a sense, God is the Father of us all. But in times past, people who were not yet baptized were prohibited from praying the Our Father. And why? Because it's the prayer that Christ gave to his disciples, that it's been incorporated into the sacred liturgy, and it's a prayer of the faithful. It's a prayer that we pray in our priestly office. When we're baptized, we are baptized into Christ's death, burial, resurrection, and ascension, and into the offices of Christ. We are made one with Christ to share in his divinity. And Christ is prophet, priest, and king, and therefore so are we. St. Peter writes in one of his letters that we are a holy nation, royal priesthood, right? He also writes that we share in divinity. These are areas of exploration, which I will be exploring, especially the sharing of the divinity. There's a whole process of, it's called theosis or divinization. It's really strongly taught in the Eastern Christianity, whether it's Eastern Orthodox or Eastern Catholic. It's not so well understood, I don't think, in the West, although it is taught in the West. But it goes really deep, and we'll be talking about contemplative prayer and all of that. But right now, we're going to focus on this little process of Lent here. Lent is structured in such a way that we really focus on following the precepts of Christ and his commands, his commandments. It's a time when we, that purification and enlightenment. So in order to be with God, because it says in the scriptures, no one has seen God face to face and lived, right? And Jesus says, the only one who has seen the Father is the Son. That's him. But we see the Father through the Son. And as St. Paul says, we see through a glass darkly, which means it's a mirror, right? And in those days, mirror was generally polished metal. And it reflected, but it didn't reflect very well. So you couldn't see. It wasn't like if when you look into your mirror in the bathroom or whatever, you get a nice clear, you know, reflection. Or if you look in the still water of a pond or a pool, you get a fairly clear reflection. But in polished metal, not so much. Little distortions here and there. And so the better mirror you create, the better the reflection. It's the same thing with the spiritual life, which is what the purification is all about. There are various spiritual practices and austerities, I would say ascetic practices, that helps to bring us into a place where, by God's grace, we are closer to God. Because no matter what we do, we can't move ourselves closer to God. That is all God's grace. There are people that, you know, spend a good portion of their lives in spiritual practices, and they don't end up feeling any closer to God than they did when they started. Or they'll start, and they'll get this initial experience, I would say, only to have it diminish over time. It's only by God's grace that we can approach him. But it is through Christ that the access has been made clear. And so during this period of Lent, we look at ourselves and our lives. How are we living? Are we living up to the ideals? Are we living up to the precepts? Are we living up to Christ's commandments? And honestly, the two big ones that we look at are loving God. And there's more to that, but basically loving God and loving our neighbor as ourself. That's it. And all these things, we find the law and the prophets. That's it. Now, it's easier said than done, but that's where it's at. And so we look at our lives, it's like, how are we applying those two things to our lives? How am I loving God? Do I love God with all my soul, my heart, my mind, right? Even my body. What can I do differently? What can I remove? Or what can I add that would make that loving greater? And then loving my neighbor as myself. And of course, the first question we ask is, do I love myself? That's the first question. Of course, we do. We do. Everybody loves themselves. They don't always show it, but we do. Even the person who is self-destructive, if you dive deep into it, there's still a love of the self. It's covered over. It's distorted. The way people go to achieve, that's their protecting of themselves. They're loving themselves. The way they go about doing it, excuse me, ends up harmful. But that's not the motivation. We do all love ourselves. But then once we come to that acknowledgement, well, then what? What do we do? Right? I can say I love myself. I do love myself. But then how do I show that? How can I make that more positive? And then love my neighbor that same way. Right? And who is my neighbor? We'll go into that at some point maybe, and we'll talk about, you know, the parable of the Good Samaritan, because that's how Jesus describes neighbor. Someone asks him, well, who is my neighbor? And he tells the story, the Good Samaritan. And so we're going to do that at some point, I'm sure. Because those two commandments, loving God and loving our neighbor, they're tied together. In other words, you can love your neighbor and you can love God. But by doing those two, one or the other, you're doing the other. So if I'm loving God, I'm loving my neighbor. And if I'm loving my neighbor, I'm loving God. If I don't love my neighbor, you know, what does St. James say? If you say you love God, but you don't love your neighbor, the truth is not in you. You're a liar. Right? So if I say I love God, I'm going to love my neighbor. And if I truly love my neighbor, even without knowing it, I'm loving God. And so this is a time during Lent where we knuckle down, where we make an effort to remove distractions so that we can really, truly discern ourselves, where we are at in relationship with our brothers and sisters, where we're at in our relationship with the Most Holy Trinity. And so we have all these different practices, you know, almsgiving and prayer and charity, which is not almsgiving. Charity isn't like donating to some charitable organization. Charity is love. As God loves, that's charity. So it's almsgiving, prayer. Well, you know, I said charity, and I don't know why, because the third one's actually fasting. How interesting, Chris. A bit of a slip of the mind. But I threw it in there for a reason, obviously. And that is that all three, almsgiving, fasting, and prayer, without charity, as St. Paul would say, is an empty gong. It has no substance to it. It has no life to it. So we do those three, alms, prayer, fasting, out of love. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense to me. Yeah. So we spend time doing that. And it's not that we're not called to do that year round. We are. Absolutely we are. But those are things that we focus on more closely, more intentionally during the period of Lent. During the period of Lent, certain what we would call holy days take place. We had one, I think, a week ago with St. Patrick, his holy day. He was an interesting character. And maybe next year we'll start focusing on the liturgical year cycle. Because it's a big part of the Catholic life. It helps to inform us in our faith. But yesterday we had the Annunciation, and the Annunciation is how the Church remembers the angel Gabriel announcing to Mary that she's going to give birth to Jesus. And we don't really know what day that took place, right? But when the Church structured its liturgical year, and it decided, that Christmas, the birth of Jesus, would be on December 25th. It then counted backwards 9 months, and lo and behold, March 25th. And so that became the day of the Annunciation, when Mary became pregnant with Jesus. That's how that worked out. And it's an exciting time for the Church, because we remember that announcement, which set in motion probably the greatest event in all of human history. And so we celebrate that. But what also happened yesterday was that Pope Francis, as the Pope, consecrated to the Virgin Mary the nations of Ukraine and Russia, and that all the bishops, and there's hundreds of them, all the bishops were asked to have a consecration mass in solidarity with the Pope all around the world. And in Sacramento, at the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament, that took place yesterday at 12:10. I think there's a recording somewhere, maybe YouTube, of it. But of course, the main one took place in the Vatican. And so in a sense, in a real sense, not only did the Pope perform this consecration, but the body of Christ also did. Because he didn't just do it in a room by himself. It was done in concert with the people of God. That's pretty cool. So the whole point, of course, is to bring peace. And peace not just to Ukraine and Russia, but peace to the world at large. Because honestly, that's not the only conflict going on in the world right now. It's a big one, and it's got the potential of getting out of control and pulling the world into a major conflict. But there's conflicts all over the world. I mean, you think of Yemen and Somalia and the Sudan, you know, the Middle East, Palestinians and Israelis, you know. There's spots all. I remember I Googled global conflicts, whatever, and found a bunch of them. I mean, there's a bunch. Some are more major than others. Some are localized, but there's a bunch of them. And so, honestly, praying for peace for the whole world is something that's important that we do. And so in seeking God's face, one of the things about seeking God's face is it's not just for me. I mean, it used to be. That used to be my focus. It used to be my motivation was I wanted to see God's face. But seeking God's face is also interceding for others. You know, one of the things that I think God really abhors is selfishness. There's a characteristic of God. It's called kenosis. And the word means self-emptying or emptying. There's a great statement about Christ in the book of Philippians. I think it's chapter 2, where it says that Christ did not... I'm paraphrasing this because I don't have it in front of me. But Christ did not assume equality with God, something to be grasped. And so emptied himself, becoming a servant, becoming a human being. And that's the nature of God, to be self-emptying like that. Now what's cool about that particular verse in Philippians is that it starts off by saying, I want you to have the same mind as Christ, who did not see equality with God something to be grasped, but emptied himself. So God wants us to empty ourselves. When you look at the Trinity, you know, you have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there are three persons, but they are one. And they do that by self-emptying to each other. It's an interesting dynamic. And this is how God would like us to be. Self-emptying, which means not selfish, not proud, but giving of ourselves. And that's why God allows us to pray for our own needs. But a better prayer is to pray for the needs of others, to intercede, to ask God for mercy for others and not for oneself. All right? It's part of loving our neighbor as ourselves. Because by praying for others, it has the effect of praying for ourselves, which is cool. I really like that. And so Lent brings us to a period where we do that. Almsgiving, okay, well, that's thinking of somebody else. Fasting, you know, that's usually in conjunction with repentance and for interceding for others. And what's the third one? Prayer. And prayer's deep. I mean, prayers for ourselves, prayers for others. You know, there's verbal prayer, there's mental prayer, there's contemplative prayer. And so that's a deep thing. So Lent is a period of purification and enlightenment. And that enlightenment is being in communion with God. What does John say in the first chapter about the Word? The Word that became flesh was the light that enlightens every person. And so it's that light that we want to get in touch with, right? Because if we already have a light within us, and that's what St. John is apparently telling us, what we want to do is we want to amplify that light. If we see that light as a flame or fire, we want to, you know, blow on that fire, get it hot, get it burning. There's an image that I think the Desert Fathers use. And the image is of a fire, right? If you build your fire up, and then you take a piece of cold iron and you put it in the fire Soon that iron begins to radiate heat like the fire. And that's the spiritual life. God is the fire and we are the cold piece of iron. And the closer we get to the fire, the more we begin to take on those characteristics of warmth and heat. There's God. We become more like God. We become more divinized. Yeah, so I'll be using that down the road when we talk about divinization, theosis. It'll be an exciting phase, because that truly is part of seeking God's face. But during Lent, we seek God's face in repentance, in intercession, preparing ourselves for that great event that we remember on Easter Sunday. It's an event we remember every time we celebrate the Mass, but we do it in a grand way on Easter Sunday, because that's the day that's the date of remembrance, when we remember the resurrection of Christ. That's a great day, and that's not too far away. So in my journey, as I was going through the period of Lent, because my baptism wasn't a sure thing, I went through everything. There's a separate rite for those who are baptized during Lent. They get a special blessing. I got both, actually, because they didn't know what to do with me. It was fun. It was fun. It was a good experience. I took it very seriously. I didn't know exactly what I was getting myself into. there's a real sense of initiation going on, that I'm going through a process that's building up to something. So, yeah, that's what I did. So anyway, well, I thank you for your patience. It's been a while, and I don't know whether it's allergies or what it is, but goodness. Anyhow, lately I've been thinking that I really need to become more disciplined in recording these podcasts for Welcome to My Life. Except that's not what it's called. It's called My Life and Welcome to It. And I just want to announce that the podcast has been picked up by Apple Music. If you listen to Apple Music, you can find it there. That's pretty cool. It also means I've got to change my introduction, right? Yeah, but that's okay. That's okay. That was really a surprise when I received an email from, not Apple. Did I say Apple? I meant Amazon. Amazon Music. I'd received an email from Amazon saying that, I guess they randomly came across my podcast and would I like to be on Amazon Music? And I'm like, why not? That was like months ago. I don't even know when I got that first email. Then I got an email probably a couple of weeks ago saying that I was picked up on Amazon Music. So, if you listen to Amazon Music, you're a subscriber, you can find the podcast there. And that's cool. So, I'm everywhere now. I thank you for listening and being on this journey with me, because what I'm going to try to do is, I'm coming to a point where, and I'll talk about Easter, what Easter was like for me entering the Catholic Church. And then what it was like that first year, bring you along my journey. And then I think I'm going to jump to more current stuff. And then as I remember things, I'll fold that in to our topic. But I don't think I'm going to try to do a chronological, you know, because I entered the church in 2007. It's 2022, so it's been a little while. And I don't know that I can actually remember everything chronologically. So as I do remember, I'll mention them. But we'll explore a little bit more of seeking God's face and some of the things that came across my path. One of the neato things about Catholicism and traditional Christianity is that it's very, very rich in spiritual practices. Very rich. And there's many different paths within the path that people can take. So I'll be relaying that. Yeah. So until we meet again, I've enjoyed this time. And I will endeavor to do this on a more regular basis. Again, appreciate your patience. And I wish you all happiness and health. And that God bless you.
This podcast is being hosted by Anchor.fm and can be found on your favorite source for podcasts. The artwork for My Life and Welcome to It is by Dave Edwards. Season 3's theme music is After All Has Changed by Humans Win, formerly Lance Conrad. If you are enjoying my adventure, you can support me by going to buymeacoffee.com/MLAWTI. 1% of all donations goes to Stripe Climate to combat climate change. You can find a list of their projects at stripe.com. Each episode of Season 3, Seeking God's Face, will appear on a random schedule. I really enjoy bringing you along on this journey called life. You can always email me at mlawti101@gmail.com. Or you can leave me a voice message at anchor.fm. So until we meet again, be safe, be well, be happy, and God bless.